Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I will be reading Revelations chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard say, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old pain knew, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Now would you that we continue to worship as we sing I Stand.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and one shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows.
Father, we are truly thankful for this opportunity now that we have to return to you a small portion of that you've blessed us with this week. Father, all things come from you. All things that we have are yours, and this is an opportunity that we can return to you a small portion. Thank you for your love and your blessings. In your name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh,
come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of your Spirit is now.
Circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside will flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Today's reading is from Acts 16, 6 through 10. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. May God add his blessings.
Thank you, David. You know, I couldn't help myself, as sometimes I do this, when others are reading the text, and I know there are some challenging words in there. I try to envision if they had been practicing at home in front of the mirror reading or not. I feel pretty confident that David probably at least practiced in front of Deborah and got her okay. Yeah, she's given some affirmation. All right. David's ready for me to stop now. He's like, move on. Okay. Well, again, congratulations to our graduates and a job well done, no doubt. And you'll have an opportunity to speak to them, congratulate them as well on the way out the door. They'll stand with me and greet you on the way out today as well. Graduation is a time in which it marks one of those monumental times in our lives. Many regard it as a transition point from youth to adulthood, although parents don't always see it that way, especially if it's a high school graduation, because the graduates are usually around the age of 18, some maybe a little younger, some others a little older perhaps. I was born a little later in the year, so I was 17 when I graduated, and still yet there may still be others who are 18 or 19 or 20 when they graduate. It happens sometimes, right? But still, at the age of around 18, when students are graduating, parents or grandparents don't often see them as becoming an adult at that point. They still want to often look at them as their little child, so to speak. But the reality is that indeed they're becoming an adult. As we go from being an underclassman to higher education, perhaps, of which these graduates are going on to receive perhaps college degrees, or at least that's their plans. Or perhaps for other graduates, they'll move from the classroom and they'll go into the career field, because that's okay too. College isn't for everybody, and that's becoming more and more keenly, people are becoming more keenly aware of that, I think, these days. Some of the more high-paying jobs today are not those of graduates from college. Did you know that? Some of the more high-paying jobs today, more successful, or long jobs that have long tenures, are jobs that are of some kind of technical trade. And so something to think about, for sure. But nonetheless, at the time of graduation, it's a point at which many will leave their home, and some will even leave their towns, and they'll begin a journey onto new things, new beginnings. Dr. Seuss had something to say about this. He wrote this book called Oh, the Places You'll Go, and this is something that he said in that text. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, and you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the person who will decide where you go. The path of new beginnings is one that can be very exciting, though sometimes, or in some situations, in some people's lives, it might also be a frightening time. And if it's not frightening for you, perhaps it's frightening for those that love you, maybe mom and dad or grandparents alike. For me, it was all of the above. It was exciting and it was frightening. I came to measure all of those things as part of my experience. I graduated, I was 17 when I graduated, but through the course of the summer that followed, I turned 18. I had already enlisted in the Army. My parents had signed me away when I was 17. At my request, I'd already determined that I was going to do that, to go into the Army. But I spent the summer after my graduation of high school, I spent it working on the farm as I'd always done all the summers before. But then September came, and then I was leaving for boot camp. And I remember the day that I left, and my parents dropped me off at the recruiter station in Whiteville where we were, the recruiter was going to take me from Whiteville to Raleigh, and that was where Mom just really started shedding all the tears. But interestingly enough, for me, my dad, who many of you know this, I did not have a good relationship with my dad for many years, but on that occasion, there was something that was quite special for us. As my dad grabbed me, hugged me, embraced me, and he began to cry as well, and he said these words to me. He said, "Son, I don't want you to go." To which I said, "Dad, it's too late for that now." But I said it with tears in my eyes as well, because obviously I couldn't stop what I'd already signed up for. But from there, I would go on to meet total strangers, to live with total strangers. But not only that, but we would be yelled at and cursed at together. Not only that, but we would be pushed to exhaustion and physical extremes all the same while we were being trained, we were being taught how to entrust our lives into the hands of each other. How about that? A bunch of 18-year-olds. You don't think an 18-year-old's an adult. You just look at our military. And you come to see very quickly that here are all these 18 and 19-year-olds, that they are being taught, trained, how to entrust their life into somebody else's hands. That's a big, monumental task. And that, I would say, represents or marks a person entering into adulthood. Now, certainly, there's lots of different levels of maturity that people have attained by the time they're 18. But 18 marks that mark of an adult. And there were moments when, through my experience, that first experience after graduation, there were moments that I found that were very frightening for me going through boot camp, some call it basic training. One of my more frightening experiences was when we were at the grenade range, and we had already been through simulations and we had practiced throwing dummy grenades, but now we're at live fire action, and so we're throwing live grenades. And there was one man who, he was so, so afraid. And there was a safety officer there with each one of us as we held the grenade. And you're supposed to hold the grenade tightly like this. And when they say it's time, then you pull the pin. And when you pull the pin, you drop the pin, and you go into your motion to throw the grenade. because you only have a few seconds before, once you let go of the lever on the grenade, before it explodes. And there was one young man, he was so nervous, he was so tense, that even with the safety officer, because safety officers miss things sometimes too, things happen so quickly. I see the safety officer in our church smiling at me really quickly right now too. But things can be missed. And sure enough, this man, when he pulled the pin, the safety officer had told him, it was a go, pull the pin. And so he pulled the pin, and when he was supposed to drop the pin and throw the grenade, he dropped the grenade and threw the pin. So there's a live grenade laying at his feet and the safety officer's feet. And at first, the safety officer didn't catch it, but within a second or two, he did. And there was a foxhole right behind where each one of us were throwing. And he just tackled him, and they fell into the bottom of that foxhole, and the grenade exploded. And while I was not close to that, I was behind a berm, as was everyone else, because there was only a few people out on the firing line at a time. It was a very, very strenuous and frightening situation, because we all who were watching this through vision blocks, we all came to realize that not only was that so dangerous for them, but that was the danger that all of us were facing. Mistakes can happen so easily. And so there were moments when it was frightening like that, but there were also moments when it felt overwhelming, and I began to think to myself, you know, why am I here? What have I gotten myself into? But of course, I made it. We made it. There were a couple of guys that didn't graduate with us. They failed physical tests or what have you. Something else may have happened, but they couldn't make it along the way. It became too much for them. But I imagine that Timothy, young Timothy, in the text of which David read to us a moment ago, that Timothy shared some of these same feelings when it came to this time in his life as well. As he was about to begin a new journey with Timothy and joining Paul the Apostle and another man named Silas, and there might have been some others with them too. We're not sure about that. But Timothy was a young man at this point. He was either a mid or older teenager. He might have been just beyond the teenage years at this point. Not exactly sure about that. But nonetheless, he was a young man who was well thought of and well spoken of in his community, because he was a young man who people looked at and they saw his love for the Lord. And because of that, even people who were older than him in his community, they honored him and they respected him, because they saw that he really had a heart that wanted to serve God and to do the things that would bring God glory through his life. And so Paul comes to town and he sees young Timothy, and he's hearing all these things about Timothy, and he says, that sounds like the kind of young man that I'd like to have with me. And so he invites Timothy to come along with he and Silas on this missional journey. Now, Timothy had probably never left home. I don't know that for sure, but it's very likely that he'd never really left home. Or if he had, he had not gone very far from home. And so there was probably some excitement that was built up around this invitation that was given to him by Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul had already established his reputation, very much so, but not as much as it would be. But nonetheless, people knew who Paul were. They knew that Paul had a heart for the Lord too. They knew that Paul was on mission. They knew that Paul was strong in the Lord. And so for Timothy to receive this invitation, that was something very honorable for him to have received as well. And so I'm sure there must have been some excitement about this, that he was going to be with this man who could teach him so many great things in the Lord. He was going to learn from probably the greatest example to be able to learn from, apart from Jesus himself at that time. He was going to be able to go places he had never gone before. He was going to be able to see places and experience things he had never seen or experienced. He was going to, through it all though, he was going to serve God. He was going to help build the church. So, like Dr. Seuss, right? Oh, the places he would go, or oh, the places he would see. Oh, how great it would be. Until it wasn't great. Because it wasn't going to be all fun. There was going to be some heartaches along the way. Oh, how great it would be until it wasn't great, because they were going to establish obstacles that they must confront. They were going to find opposition in various kinds of way. How great is that when you find yourself looking at nothing but a giant obstacle that seems insurmountable perhaps? Paul and the team, they would make their plan for the places that they would go. And they would set out on the journey for this new beginning. Not only was this new for them, but this is going to be something that was going to be established as new for the people they would encounter along the way. And so they come to the intersection, the first intersection they come to. They've got the plan. They've got the map made out. the places they're going to go. But when they come to their first intersection, the map, the plan they have made says, okay, we're going to turn left here. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go and preach the word in Asia. Well, what does that mean? Well, it quite simply means that God was not going to let them follow through with the plan that they had made. Why? Because God had another plan. Their plan was not God's plan. They were going to do a good thing. They were going to do what they thought was going to be that which would glorify God. But God says, nope, that's not what I want you to do. Now, it wasn't that God didn't want them to glorify him. It wasn't that God didn't want them to go and preach. God just didn't want them to go in that direction into that place. And so God says, no. How did God stop them, though? Well, we don't know exactly how it was. Perhaps, I suspect it could have been something like this, that they got to that first intersection and they turned left, and when they got to the first gas station, they decided they were going to fill up, and when they got, you know I'm making this up, right? When they got to the first gas station, they realized that the prices of gas had gone up astronomically overnight to everybody's surprise, and they started counting their money again, and they realized they did not have enough money to even get to where they were going to go. Now they can't go because they can't afford to go. Well, of course, that's not what happened, but what did happen? I suspect, and I don't know this either, but I do suspect that perhaps the Holy Spirit just impressed something so deeply on their hearts that said, no, you cannot go. How he did it, the way he did it, I'm not sure. But I imagine that's what happened. However it happened, they did not go to Asia. And so they're left with having to regroup now. They've got plans, and they're ready to pursue those plans, but now their plans have fallen through. They cannot pursue those plans. So what do you do when your plans fall through? Well, you make new plans. And so that's what they do. We said, well, we turn to the left at the intersection, and we realize we hit a roadblock. We can't go that way, so what do we do? Well, let's go to the right. But then the Scripture says the Holy Spirit would not allow them to go in that direction either. And so now there's only one option left, and that is, don't go left, don't go right, just keep going straight forward. Just keep moving forward, one step after the other, because there's no other options. And Troas happened to be the place that was in front of them once they kept going in that straightward direction. And so if you're Timothy, remember, he's a young man. He's learning everything. He's a sponge. He's learning everything that he can right now. And he sees Paul, who he greatly admired, knows walked closely with the Lord, but he sees all of a sudden that Paul didn't have it right. Silas, who also was a great man in the Lord, he didn't have this right. And so now he's got to be thinking, he's got to be wondering, well, what went wrong? Everything's going good. We're all so excited. We're all united in this effort to go and to glorify God, to reach people with the gospel, to build churches. We're going places, and we're going to see growth. We're going to see transformation. Nothing wrong with those things. These are incredible things. These are lofty things. These are things we should all aspire to. And that's what they aspired to, but it didn't happen in that way. And just when everything seemed to be going great, everything's moving in the right direction, all of a sudden it's not. It's going right, it's going good, but then all of a sudden it's just not. It's not going right, and there's nothing good working out. And graduates, what I want to say to you about this is that this will undoubtedly happen to you too in life. Why do I say that? Because it happens to everybody in life. You make plans, you have dreams for your life, and then something happens and that doesn't fulfill itself. You can't keep going in that direction for whatever reason. It's going to happen to all of us. There are going to be roads that you want to walk down, roads that you want to travel, and this is for all of us, not just graduates. There's going to be roads that some of us want to travel down that are going to be blocked, and we won't be able to travel down those roads. Maybe it'll be a degree that we want to work towards. But then we come to realize, well, all the slots have been filled for that particular program, and we will not be allowed access into the program. And so there you have it, a dream shattered, perhaps. Or maybe it's beyond college or higher education. Maybe it's just about the career field, and you have this dream for this particular job, and you apply for it, and you interview for it, but somebody else gets the job, and you didn't get the job of your dreams. Or maybe it's that relationship with somebody that you love so much, and things are going so well, but while you hope that relationship would never end, all of a sudden one day that relationship comes to an end. You could have never imagined it happened, but it did. Or maybe it's that unexpected trip to the hospital. It just hits the pause button on everything. It's a doctor visit, and the doctor gives you news you just weren't expecting, and Next thing you know, you find yourself in the hospital. It happens all the time. I see that all the time. People's plans are upset. Nobody in the hospital planned to be in the hospital. Their plans are upset. Plans don't continue as they were. Every time I go to visit someone in the hospital, and I go a lot, I don't know if any of you realize this, and I'm not bragging, but I have 12 different hospitals that I visit. Because nobody here wants to go to the same hospital for some reason. Everybody thinks one is better than another somewhere else. And so then I have to go from the Outer Banks all the way to Raleigh and from Norfolk and all the five hospitals there all the way back down to Greenville. I'm not complaining. But my point is simply this, that as I'm going and when I'm meeting with these families or people, in the back of my mind, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, their plans have been upset. Their dreams may not be met because of what they're experiencing right now. So despite your best efforts, your greatest desires and your best efforts, you still might end up in a place that you don't expect, having to endure some things that you never wanted to endure. But this is not a reason, friends, for you to be burdened down with sadness or depression or even something worse. Why? Because Proverbs 16:9 says this, "The heart of a man makes his plans, but it's the Lord who establishes his steps." Jeremiah 29:11, which might be a much more familiar passage to us, God said this to Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." God's never intended on hurting us. Let's love that about the Lord, that none of his plans are that which are designed to hurt us. Now, we might experience pains along the way, yes. But that's not the ultimate end goal here. No, God says it's not to hurt you. It's to give you hope and a future. You ever thought about this? What kind of future do you have if you don't have a future with the Lord? The one who knows you best and the one who knows what is best for you, what kind of future do you have if you don't have a future that he intends for you? Not only that, how successful can you truly be if you are not successful in the Lord? I dare say you will find no success if it is not success in the Lord. You say, well, what about wealth and prosperity and status among people and leaving a legacy of being a great business person and this and that? Well, you know what? That's not going to matter in 1,000 years. Not at all. Not when Jesus said this in Matthew 16:26, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his soul?" Friends, we should be living today for what's going to matter in 1,000 years. Not for what's going to matter tomorrow, or what, not even what's going to matter for your inheritance or what you'll leave behind for the next generation, if what you're leaving behind for the next generation is not something that's going to glorify God for the next 1,000 and 1,000,000 and eternal amount of years. In the books that I told you I gave the graduates a little earlier, one of those books was Radical. And the author of that book, he has there's a place within the book where he talks about basically rejecting God's plan. And this is something that he said. "God beckons storm clouds and they come. He tells the wind to blow and the rain to fall and they obey him immediately. He speaks to the mountains, you go there, and he says to the seas, you stop here, and they do it. Everything in all of creation responds in obedience to the Creator until we get to you and me. And we have the audacity to look God in the face and say, no. All of creation obeys God except for his prized creation. And his prized creation, the ones that he loves most within all of his creation, will look right back at him and say, no." When I first read that quote, first time I read that book years ago, it began to grip me. Who am I to say no to God? It makes my eyes tear up to even think that I would say no to God. Friends, our faith must be, not should be, our faith must be a faith that overcomes our desire to fulfill our plans at the cost of forsaking God's plan for our life. Because it's not going to work in the end. It's not going to work out for you in the end if you forsake God's plan for your life. But if you follow God's plan in your life, it works out in the end. And that's what we're all looking for. It's the end result, right? It's not what's along the way. It's the end that we're looking at. Friends, our faith must be one that loves the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our faith must be one that listens to the Lord. Our faith must be one that follows the Lord. And thankfully, that's what Paul and Silas and Timothy did here in this occasion. They did not stay down and depressed because they didn't get to go and do what they thought they wanted to go and do. And they certainly didn't give up. They didn't just quit and turn around and go back home and say, well, we gave it our best shot, didn't work out, so we're done. We can say we tried, and that's good enough. No, they continued to love the Lord, they continued to seek the Lord, they continued to listen to the Lord, and they continued to want to follow Him. And as their desire in this never wavered, verse number 9 of our text from Acts chapter 16 said this, and God spoke to Paul in a dream, and he saw within that dream a vision, a man from Macedonia crying out, come and help us. Verse 10 says, immediately they obeyed. This, they had no idea that they would ever be going to Macedonia. But the scripture says, once God revealed his plan to them, immediately they ran to do it. They obeyed God's call to go and preach the gospel in Macedonia. And this led to these missionaries eventually encountering a woman along the way, a woman named Lydia, a woman who on this new direction that they have now found that's been given to them by God, a woman, they encountered this woman who had been very successful. Many think that she was most likely a very successful businesswoman in her own right. And yet, Paul was able to share the gospel with her, and there was nothing in all the world that she longed for more after she heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing that she longed for more than to know that Jesus was hers and she was his. And so as Paul led her to the Lord, it wasn't just Lydia, it was her entire family. And the Bible says that the whole family was then baptized. Lydia and all of her household would then go on to become a great part of the kingdom advancement of God's kingdom growth here on the earth. And guess what? Now it took them a long time on this journey before they got to Lydia. A lot of time had actually passed. And you don't necessarily see that so much as you just read the text straight through. But this didn't go from Monday to Tuesday. No, there was a more extended period of time in between here. Remember though, Paul's goal from the very beginning was to get to Asia, to preach the gospel and plant churches in Asia. But when he turned left to go there, God said no. And when he turned right to go there, God said no. He wanted him to go to Troas first. And then from Troas, he would send him to Timothrae. And then from there, he would send him somewhere else. But eventually, he showed him the way to Macedonia. You know what? About this, really should jump out at us, even though we might not know it, but hopefully you'll get it once I share this. If Paul would have tried to force the plans from the beginning, to keep going left at that first intersection when God said no. Because sometimes we'll do that. We'll want to plow through God's no. But if Paul had kept doing that, he would have never met Lydia. Never won her family to Christ. And never saw the impact that she and her family would then have on helping to build the kingdom of God. Let me get this. This is really where I wanted to take this point. You know where Lydia was from? Asia. The very place that Paul wanted to go to begin with, but God says no. Friends, when God says no to us sometimes, it's not that necessarily he never wants us to get to that place. It could just very well be that you're not ready for that place yet. Or it could be that that place is not ready for you yet. But Paul would have never known if he'd have just tried to bust his way up into Asia on his own, thinking, I got this. I know enough to be able to figure this out. If he disobeyed, then God's will would not have been done. And here's what I think we can learn from this. Through all of their travels, through all of your travels in this world, and the wrong turns that's made along the way. Plans change. But when God changes our plans, we must understand that it's for the sake of a bigger plan. It's for the sake of a greater plan. It's for the sake of growing something that's far bigger than you and me. It's for the sake of expanding and expounding on the glory of God for others to see. These people were able to actually go, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were able to go to Asia after all. But they were not able to get there the way they thought they were going to go. And they weren't able to do what they thought they were going to do. But they did get there, and they were able to do something great, something they had not even imagined or fathomed. So with this, friends, I say to you, and to our graduates especially, I don't know if you caught this earlier when I was reading that quote from Dr. Seuss's book, but in that book he said this: you are the one who decides where you'll go. Now, Dr. Seuss is not a great theologian, but he does say a lot of things that are right when you really think about them in their purest context. But this is something that I can plainly say to you that he got wrong. He says, you get to decide where you want to go. Why do I say that's wrong? When you know that you have your own will and you can follow your own determinations, why do I say that's wrong? I say it's wrong because of what happens in the end. And Proverbs 19:21 says this: many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails in the end. Paul and Timothy and Silas, they are representing for us the great fact that it is an illusion that you or I think that it's all up to us. It's not all up to us. Not even your life. It's not all up to you. The reality is, and this is what's really difficult for many people to face up to, the reality is that God is in charge. God says His word will not return to Him void. And God says in the end, He will accomplish what He purposed from the very beginning. It will happen. Now at times, and if we're going to follow the Lord, it's going to mean that we're going to have to go down some roads that we didn't want to go down, we never could have thought of. It's going to mean that we end up in some places that we probably wouldn't have chosen to end up ourselves if we really were just making all the choices. But we would do well, very well, to remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:11, where he said, not only does he state there that God has a plan for your life, but he also goes on to say that that plan includes good for you and eternity with the Father. That's what God's plan gets us in the end. And what I'm saying to you, friends, is that it's okay if things don't work out the way that you'd hoped. It is. It's just okay. It's okay that you don't get what you want all of the time. Plans have to change. But know this, that God is always working. He's working in the midst of our changed plans. He's working in the mess that is sometimes the most accurate description of our lives. God's working in the mess. And if you will love Him, and if you will listen to Him, and if you will follow Him, He will lead you to places that you never could have expected, like He did me when He led me here. A place that I never knew about. I didn't know Maharon Baptist Church. I didn't know Murfreesboro, North Carolina. I didn't know of anything north of Greenville, to be honest with you. And yet the Lord led me here to a place that I never knew. But He did so also leading me to meet people that I never could have imagined. People that I've come to grow to love so dearly. But that wouldn't have happened if I had not been listening and following the Lord. And what I'm saying to you is that if you are not listening and following, you are going to miss the greatest pieces of the glory of God that can become evidenced through your life and become the greatest blessings in your life as well. Think of it this way. If you can trust God to save you for all eternity, you can trust Him to lead you for a lifetime. Can't we? Why would we say, Lord, I'll trust you with my eternity, but I'm not going to trust you with my life on this earth? Friends, if you can trust Him to save you for all of eternity, you can absolutely and you should absolutely trust Him to lead you in this lifetime. I'll leave you today with this one more quote, but this is Scripture. These are the red letters in the Bible, straight from Jesus' mouth as John recorded them in John 12:26. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Keep that in mind as the nominating committee begins to work very soon. And they start to call you and ask you how you will serve, how you can serve, will you serve? Jesus said this, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Friends, may your life be one that is honored by the Father because you seek to serve Him. And you do that by following Him in great faith. Will you pray with me? Father, in your presence, we humble ourselves and we say thank you for the word of life that brings transformation when we believe it, when we succumb to it. And I pray, Father, that none of us will leave here today, but that we have not succumbed to the authority of God's word over our life and embrace the love of God and the mission of God, the plan of God for our life. Father, if there are those among us who have not indeed surrendered their life to follow Jesus, I pray that they would recognize the love that you have poured out into this world and how you desire to save them, not only for eternity, but to give them an abundant life even now with the strength and the peace of God being present in their life, if they would but repent of their sin and give their life to you. Perhaps, Father, others of us, we need to return to you because we've been following our own path. We saw you put up the no sign. We saw the barricade, but Lord, we plowed through it. And for that, Lord, we need to say we are sorry and repent and run back into you and your saving grace. Perhaps others, Father, it's that time of which they should make it known that they believe that you've called them to serve here and to be a part of this church family. And that they would do that by desiring to become a member of this body of believers. Father, ever how you're working on our hearts, perhaps it's even through some great burdens, physical or otherwise. Oh Lord, I pray we all find our hope in you today as we give it all to you on your throne. And may we do that here at this altar in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you need to respond to the altar call today, please come and kneel and pray or let me pray with you should you desire. As we stand and sing, would you be faithful to God?